According to new data, Wisconsin dairy farmers are continuing to struggle financially. Federal court records show that Western Wisconsin led the nation in new farm bankruptcies in 2020. The eastern half of the state came in fourth behind Kansas and Nebraska. Western Wisconsin also led the nation in 2017. Farmers, especially on small farms, have been struggling since milk prices plummeted in 2015. This time around, they had to contend with the pandemic as well. Hope Kerwin is a Wisconsin public radio reporter based in La Crosse. Hope, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
Let's talk about this data a little bit. You're there in Western Wisconsin, the center of this story. Hope, what can you tell us about the makeup of the region and the dairy farms there?
Yes, I think the first thing to keep in mind is when we're talking about the Western District of Wisconsin, we're actually talking about the U.S. Court District that is called the Western District of Wisconsin. So that's 44 counties in the state, and it makes up more than half of the state geographically. So it's kind of, you know, everything from Dane County, Marathon County, all the way up to Vilas County and west of that. So obviously, you know, this is a lot more of the kind of rural parts of the state, you know, being that our urban centers tend to be on the eastern side of the state. And so it's no surprise that it also kind of encompasses many more smaller farms or kind of like traditional size farms versus the largest of farms, especially in the dairy industry, tend to be on in the kind of eastern side of the state.
Now, the bankruptcies we're talking about, they don't necessarily mean the farms are going to go out of business. We're going to talk to our next guest about that. But it does point toward challenges facing dairy farmers in that part of the state. Can you talk about some of the things we're seeing there that's putting a lot of dairy farmers in a tough position?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that is putting farms in a tough position is that they have just accumulated a lot of debt after five-ish years of low milk prices. We saw milk prices first fall after, you know, reaching highs in 2014. They fell in 2015 and, you know, kind of continued to just drag out for an extended period of time that, you know, many people have agreed it was very unusual for the kind of price cycle that we tend to see in agriculture. So when we had this kind of extended period of low prices, that meant farms were you know, taking on a lot of debt to continue operating. And that has just left them in a more difficult financial position. And maybe the reason why we're seeing more farms seeking out a Chapter 12 bankruptcy, which is what we're talking about. It's a bankruptcy code that's specific to farms that allows them basically to restructure. And I'm sure you guys are going to be getting into more of that.
And 39 of this kind of bankruptcy filing in the Western District in 2020, how does that stack up to previous years?
Yeah, so it's actually slightly lower than what we saw in 2019, when the Western District had 42 new filings of cases. That was, again, the highest in the nation. In 2018, we were about 33 filings that we came in number two. And 2017, when we first kind of hit number one in the nation, and when I first started following this story, that we were about 28 filings. So you can just see we've kind of, that number has just continued to grow over the last few years.
Now, these are farmers filing this kind of bankruptcy, hoping to stay in business. I know we've heard from farmers who have left farming completely or gotten out of dairy or cut back on dairy. Just from how you're watching this over the years, Hope, how is this affecting the rural economy in that part of the state?
I think many people are looking at this issue of how the transition of farms either from dairy or even out of farming in general to, you know, kind of watching the consolidation within the agriculture industry. This is something that a lot of people are paying attention to because we know that farms tend to spend their money locally, whether it's, you know, seed companies or machinery dealerships, you know, these sorts of things. You know, we tend to see that dollar kind of spent within the local economies. And so I know in talking with a lot of people who look at rural communities, you know, this is definitely an issue that we don't know what the impact will be, but we do know that as, you know, more farms go out of business, it is changing kind of the structure of rural economies.
Hope, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in La Crosse. We talked to her about her reporting on farm bankruptcies in Wisconsin. The western half of the state led the nation among regions with 39 new bankruptcy filings last year. Eastern Wisconsin, fourth with 30. Now we're going to take a closer look at why these bankruptcies are happening and how this kind of farm bankruptcy works. Roger McCohen is a professor of agricultural law and taxation at Washburn University's School of Law in Topeka, Kansas. He helped write the current bankruptcy laws for farms. Roger, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, good to be with you, Rob. My pleasure.
Can you tell us how this Chapter 12 bankruptcy works for, say, a dairy farmer in Wisconsin? It doesn't mean they're looking necessarily to get out of business, right?
No, that's exactly right. And that's precisely correct what Hope said. Chapter 12 is a reorganization section of the bankruptcy code. So your purpose in filing Chapter 12 is to reorganize your debts among your creditors and work out a plan over 3 to 5 years, a reorganization plan under which you're going to pay off those debts over a period of time. So you're trying to just simply reorganize, perhaps downsize, sell off some assets, totally reorganize the business and stay in business. And that's the reason Chapter 12 was enacted during the height of the farm debt crisis in the 1980s, where things were really bad. If filings are at 42 now, I bet if you went back and looked in, I didn't pull the data, but in 1980s, it was substantially higher than 42, probably by a factor of anywhere 8 to 10. So that kind of puts it in perspective. Yes, it's difficult for Wisconsin dairy farmers, but we still are not as nearly bad off as many farms and ranches were in the 1980s.
Well, we've got a few decades of track record on this kind of bankruptcy filing designed in large part with farmers in mind. How have we seen it work?
Well, what happens is a farmer, usually pressed by a creditor, will try to satisfy that creditor initially by selling assets. And if that doesn't work, then they're usually backed into a corner. They can't be involuntarily put in a Chapter 12, but they will file a Chapter 12 in an attempt to satisfy their creditors and stave them off. And so they have to, you want to get good bankruptcy legal and tax counsel, and that the tax aspect is important of this because of the law change in 2005. But what you'll do is you put schedule of assets and liabilities together, and you come up with a plan based on projected yields of its crops, projected amount of milk that you're going to be able to produce, what your input costs, what your expenses are going to be, and what your living expenses are going to be. And then there's a bankruptcy trustee that's appointed that oversees all of this, and you present your plan to the court, and creditors may object to it. And ultimately, it's up to the judge to determine whether you have put together a feasible plan that can be paid off over the proposed length of time.
I could see this working for one rough year where prices were low and I couldn't keep up with, say, my debt payments on machinery on a dairy farm, say. 5 years, though, of low dairy prices. Can even something like this special bankruptcy option for farmers deal with like a structural problem like that?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Your eligibility for Chapter 12, a farmer has to meet several hurdles and tests to be able to file a Chapter 12. One of those, obviously, is they have to meet the definition of a family farmer. That test is only done at the time that the petition is filed. What that means then is you can supplement the farm income with, say, a spouse's off-farm income after the petition has been filed and include that off-farm income in your bankruptcy income schedules. So not all of the income has to come from the farm. And in fact, many farming operations that restructure will have off-farm income to help. And that can be very, very beneficial. You only have to meet the definition of a farmer at the time you file. You don't have to meet your planned payments with farm income. And that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand at first blush, but that's an important aspect of Chapter 12.
And you mentioned you have to qualify as a family farmer, and that can mean a lot of different things. I think people might picture a pretty small operation, but a family can own hundreds of head of livestock, for example. Is size an issue here, or is it just the ownership structure?
It's the ownership structure, and it's how much a percentage of your income comes from farming and what the percentage of your debt is that's related to farm assets and farming. So you have to meet a debt test, you have to meet an income test, and that's how we define what a family farmer is. Now, if we're in an entity structure, then it's percentage ownership. We have to have a majority of the owners be family members of a certain relation. So once you clear those hurdles and you have less than now $10 million worth of debt in total, you'll be eligible to file Chapter 12 and restructure your debt under the provisions of Chapter 12. And one of the big things that we were able to get amended in 2005 was a special rule that moves IRS and state and local government tax claims to unsecured creditor status. We move them to the back of the line. Now, what happened in the 80s before this was changed proved to be a problem. This is why we were successful in getting this through the Congress. And that was a farmer that was trying to stay afloat would sell off assets, but in doing so, it would trigger a bunch of tax, not just capital gain, but recaptured depreciation. And the IRS used to have first priority position, meaning you couldn't pay any of your other creditors before you paid the IRS in full. And there were a lot of farmers in the 80s and through the 90s that couldn't do that. And then they got changed to a Chapter 7 and liquidated. Now, a major aspect of Chapter 12 is that the IRS has been moved to the back of the line. And you may not have, they have a priority claim, but it's a sub-priority claim. It's behind other creditors. And they may indeed not get paid in full. And that is a big relief for a lot of farmers as a result of the 2005 law change.
As you mentioned, this 80s era inspired legislation led to Chapter 12 bankruptcy, that amendment you just mentioned to 2005. Do you see other tweaks needed here that, that might help farmers adapting to the era of the 2020s?
Well, we got one of those tweaks in the fall of 2017, effective October 26 for plans filed on or after that date. And that was, it doesn't matter when the taxes are discharged, whether they are incurred, whether they're incurred before you file bankruptcy in an attempt to straighten out your debt before you file, or as a result of a plan where you're downsizing. And so the taxes are incurred after you file. There was a problem before that. There was a case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court case. It wasn't favorably decided for farmers. And that's why the legislation came in to say, well, it doesn't matter when you file. IRS still gets deprioritized. That was a big development. There are some other, I would call them nitpicky things. Boy, if we had our crystal ball, our Christmas wish list, and could get everything that we wanted, yeah, there are a few things. But we got the big ones in 2005 on deprioritization and then in 2017 on the timing issue.
Roger, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you much.
That's Roger McCohen, professor of agricultural law and taxation at Washburn University's School of Law in Topeka, Kansas. He helped write current bankruptcy laws for farms. We talked to him about why Wisconsin, especially in the western half of the state, led the nation in farm bankruptcies in 2020 and how those bankruptcy protections work for farmers. We also heard from WPR reporter Hope Kerwin, who's been reporting on the story.